Welcome to Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Thank you for joining us on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Now, here are your hosts, Tim Alcorn and Jim Jones.
Good Monday evening, everyone, and welcome to Cavs HQ. Great to have you along as the week gets started. And for the Cavaliers, a five-game road swing gets started tonight out in Denver. The Cavaliers will be taking on the Denver Nuggets. Huntington Tip-Off Show will come your way at 8:30, and they'll get things rolling shortly after 9 o'clock. Jim Jones and I, of course, will have the call. But first, Jim and I bring you Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Great to have you with us. And, boy, Jim, we start this long road swing tonight, but what a great show to start the road swing. We've got a couple of great guests lined up. The Czar, Mike Fratello, is going to be stopping by and paying us a visit, and his insights are just tremendous. Can't wait to talk to Mike. And then, of course, a guy who will be busy all week long because we're on the road, Brad Sellers, who will be joining Mike Snyder for halftime and postgame. He's going to stop by and pay us a visit as well.
That's right. The mayor of Warrensville Heights, Brad Sellers, a former NBA player and great. And then Mike Fratello. I can't wait to hear what Mike's assessment is. You know, we've only played about three games so far, and I'm very interested in seeing how he sees this young team. His assessment is something that is a real privilege for all of us.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. So, again, we've got a jam-packed hour ahead before we bring you Cavs basketball a little bit later tonight as they're in Denver to take on the Nuggets. So, hey, we've got great guests standing by, Mike Fratello and Brad Sellers. So we're going to take a quick timeout. And when we come back, we'll get things rolling on this week's edition of Cavs HQ. It's presented by Betway. So glad you've joined us on this Monday night on the Cleveland Cavaliers Radio Network. Atlanta elects not to take that final timeout. Young out front against Mobley, steps back, a rainbow three, way short, ball loose, comes off to Rubio. Rubio's going to head to the forecourt, dribble out the clock, and the Cavs are going to be winners for the first time in the 21-22 season. And we welcome you back, Cavs HQ, presented by Betway, Tim Alcorn, along with Jim Jones, two guys on the other side of the window that really make it happen. The dynamic duo of Marty Allen and Kurt McLaughlin. Well, Jim, we have a returnee as far as the Legends Chair is concerned. We had a great conversation with Mike Fratello this summer when he sat in the Legends Chair and enjoyed a cappuccino, if memory serves me correctly, while he was lounging in the Legends Chair and chatting with us. So we thought it would be great to have Mike Fratello join us again on Cavs HQ. Coach, thank you for stopping by.
Guys, thanks for having me back, and looking forward to the show, as I'm looking forward to the rest of this season, which could prove to be very interesting for this young team.
Well, let's start there, Coach, because the first three games have certainly been interesting. As Jim said, Saturday night, following the game against Atlanta, the first two were actually winnable ball games. And then to get that first victory on Saturday against a very good Hawks team, an Eastern Conference Finals team last year, it showed the potential of this basketball team. But you're the coach, the former coach. I want to hear what your perspective is. And even three games in with a small sample size, what your thoughts are of this basketball club.
I hope people can appreciate what the team accomplished in beating Atlanta. It's coming off of the loss the night before to a very good Charlotte team. Remember, Charlotte held the number four spot in the Eastern Conference for the first third of last season until the injury bug hit him, Ball going down for a long period of time, and then Hayward having the injury he had. They went from 4-10. That's how far they dropped, okay, over the remainder of the season. So Charlotte was a good team coming in. We knew that. But you played them at 7 o'clock at night, and then with Atlanta sitting in town, no game, they're here already, watching the Cavs play against Charlotte. Then the next night, you have to play at 6 o'clock, an hour earlier, and they come out with a huge win against a very good Atlanta Hawks team who, when they made the coaching change a year ago, Nate McMillan got into the head coach's seat, They wound up 27-11 down the stretch and were a very dangerous team. They're good, they're young, they're talented, they're athletic, and our guys just did a terrific job at the defensive end of the floor, and in particular cleaning up the mistakes and problems that they had had in the Charlotte game and even in the Memphis game.
Coach, I have the two-part question. You know, going back in history, you know, you've had some great young players like Kevin Willis, Dominique, and Doc Rivers. And how do you navigate the waters and still be competitive when you have so many young, talented players?
Maybe because it was so long ago, Jim. And I never approached it from the standpoint like, well, we've got to be careful and baby these guys. And I just never did that. They knew from day one, the youngsters, that I expect of them the same thing I expect of the guys who have been around 5, 6, 7, 8 years. The responsibility is the same. This is a job. This is a professional basketball team. You're being paid day in, day out to go to practice, to go to games. And the objective is to try and win as many games as you can, ultimately a championship. So I gave those youngsters maybe more responsibility and expected more out of them than maybe other coaches did on other teams. But I always felt that they kind of responded to that responsibility. I didn't want to have to worry about, you know, babying them, making them feel like, well, you know, you're just 20-something years old and you haven't had a lot of experience. I never handled it that way. But maybe that was okay during those times. And things have to be a little bit different nowadays because there are so many more young guys coming out. We didn't have as many who were leaving after just 1 year, and some of them not even a year of playing collegiate basketball. So you worked hard every day. You earned your minutes on the floor. You kind of knew, we try to make it very clear what your role was, what we expected from you, and then we expected you to do it when you got out on the floor. And if you didn't do it, then they understood, you know, why they were substituted for. And we tried to have a good open line of communication with them way back when I was coaching the teams.
Again, we're talking with Mike Fratello, NBA legend as far as the coaching chair is concerned, and the broadcasting side as well, one of the premier analysts. When Mike works on the television side, of course, you'll see him here in the Cleveland area as part of Cavs broadcast on Bally's. Mike, a little bit later on in the show, Jim and I are going to have a conversation about the game Saturday night and the role that Ricky Rubio played. And in all your years of coaching, 16-plus years, talk about what it means to have that veteran guy that you can look right in the eye and say, we need some veteran leadership out there.
You trust that man with the ball in his hands. You trust him to make good decisions. You feel comfortable when he's coming down the floor, whether it's leading a fast break, a transition opportunity, or trying to get a team into a set play. And you really understand the value of that play when it comes playoff time, when it becomes more physical. Every play they know, and every play they run, you know, because of all the scouting that's been done, and the physicalness of it makes it so difficult to get into plays. It's hard to get shots off at the end of the year during playoffs. And that guard who has the ball in his hand that you believe in and trust so much, he's driving your team. Okay, he's the engine that's pulling everybody and getting them where they have to get to. And believe me, without a guy like that, it's very easy to fall apart come NBA playoff time. So you have to navigate the regular season first. But when you have that kind of a guy out there, and think about this. I mean, I was blessed all the years, okay, that I coached in the NBA in Atlanta. I had Doc Rivers backed up by Spud Webb, two completely different kind of players at the point guard spot. But both did what we needed for them. Doc was that big locomotive, and Spud was that speedy guy that changed the tempo of the game for us when he came in and replaced Doc on the floor. And then after Atlanta, when I came to Cleveland, I was fortunate enough to inherit first Mark Price, then Terrell Brandon, then Brevin Knight. Pretty good point guards that you trusted with the ball in their hands. And then when I went to Memphis, after only one season really with Jason Williams, but then we brought in Stoudemire, Damon Stoudemire, who was injured after only 20-something games. Terrific player. But Chucky Atkins replaced him. And people don't know Chucky Atkins to be, wow, Chucky. But, boy, was he terrific for us, because he was not afraid to take a big shot, was not afraid to get us into our offense. And we were blessed. And then right at the end, my last draft, we drafted Kyle Lowry out of Villanova. So think about those point guards that you have running the show for you during your career, and how fortunate you are as a coach to have them.
Yeah, they serve as another coach on the floor, per se. Boy, great conversation with Mike Fratello. We're going to sneak in a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear more from the Czar. Yes, Mike Fratello joining us here in the Legends Chair on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Welcome back. Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Tim Elkhorn along with Jim Jones. Boy, we're thrilled to have Mike Fratello joining us in the Legends Chair. And, of course, the Cavs tonight start a five-game road swing. First four on the West Coast. And it begins this evening in Denver, 8:30, with the Huntington Tip-Off Show. And they'll get things rolling in Denver shortly after 9 o'clock tonight. Jim, you want to open up segment two with the coach?
Yeah, but I want to ingratiate Coach Fratello first. Mike, you were an outstanding coach, one of the best coaches in our league. And you as a commentator, Mike, you're at the top of your game. There is no one in our game but maybe your mentor, Hubie Brown, who can give as much insight and knowledge about how this game is played and what's necessary to be successful. I just want to commend you in that respect.
I appreciate that, Jim. Thank you so much.
Another thing I want to talk about is Mobley. And, Coach, you've had talent. First of all, who would you compare him against, if that's relevant enough to make a comparison? And then the second thing is, what do you see in this young man?
I think they were very accurate when people started talking about him prior to the draft and mentioned Miami and a Hall of Famer now in Chris Bosh, that you just look out there and you see this body that was kind of similar to Bosh when he came in the league. And forget about left-hander versus right-hander. We're talking about things that go way beyond that. This young man, to me, one of his greatest attributes is and his head coach paid him a terrific compliment when he said, all you have to do is tell Evan one time, and he's got it. He said he has a very high basketball IQ, which is so valuable when you have a young man who understands, sees the whole picture, gets it, what you're trying to do. You know, that the old whole part method or part whole method, depending on how you want to teach it. You want to do piece by piece and then put it all together, or do you want to have the whole thing together and then break it down piece by piece? This young man gets it, which helps the process. It speeds it up, and eventually it makes you a very, very good team at both ends of the floor. He's athletic. He's long. He can put the ball down on the floor. He's a willing passer. He'll stick his nose in there. Two nights ago, got a double-double, okay, against Atlanta with 17 and 11. He can block and challenge shots. I'll tell you what he really does well. That takes a lot of guys years to pick it up. Jim, the rule of verticality, going up in the air, leaving your feet off the ground, and not getting called for a foul. You're entitled as a defensive player to be in your spot, jump straight up in the air, put your arms up, and come down in the same spot. And if the offensive guy crashes into you, it's not a foul. He gets that already. He doesn't bring his arms down. He doesn't commit silly fouls, which is so valuable from the standpoint that he's going to be able to stay on the floor and play more minutes. He's not sending the other team to the foul line for extra free throw attempts. So all of that, you see it already in his game. And he's just going to get better and better offensively as he gets stronger. And they put him down on the low post occasionally. They like playing him now at around that elbow area where he's very effective with one dribble, trying to penetrate to the basket or starting to dribble and making the next pass off the dribble. So he's got a lot going for him early on. And I don't want to put too much on him now. I hear everybody raving about him, saying great things about him. Let's see what he is down the road, 3-4 years down the road, if he helps this team become a winner year in and year out. That's when you start to establish your greatness.
Coach, I find it interesting that JB has talked about, as has Evan, that they're showing him video of players like, as you said, Chris Bosh and or Anthony Davis or Kevin Durant to teach him things. But in the end, they're saying you've got to be your own player. You've got to make your own identity. I think that's a great way to approach it.
You can try and emulate people that are great players. Think how many guys want to be Michael Jordan. you just don't wind up being Michael Jordan. And there are a lot of youngsters that wanted to be Jim Jones as they were growing up, watching him play his game at both the collegiate level and then eventually in the NBA. You take certain things that they did well and you say, wow, I want to be able to do that. So you try to add it to your game. How many people ever added the skyhook to their game? Not too many, but a guy named Kareem did it pretty darn well. You watch people, you try to do what they do that catches your eye, but you've got to fit it into the skills that God's given you and bless you with the talent that make it work. You know, the NBA is not a complicated thing. I always would tell guys early on when we'd have meetings, especially the young guys coming in, be like a baseball pitcher. Let me compare it to that. You don't have to have 7 pitches that you can go to. Okay? You have 2 or 3 pitches that you're really good at, you can succeed. Well, it's the same thing in the NBA. You have to have a main move that you go to when you need a bucket and they throw you the ball at a critical time in the game. You don't have to have 7 different moves because then you don't do any of them really well and you don't get the same success. But if you have 2 or 3 that you really do well, hard right dribble, 2 or 3 dribbles, stop, pull up, shoot a 17-footer. If you can do that over and over again, then you got yourself a main move. And then you add to that as you go along in your career. And great players will always tell you that along the way, in the off season, they'd always try to add something, whether it's a little more range on their shot, whether it's using their left hand when they never used it before because they're a right-hander. Those are the things you look for.
Great stuff, Coach. I mean, come on. I mean, we really got to pump this. Coach, this is great. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about, you tried to play some big front lines from time to time, you know, with Hot Rod and Brad Daugherty and Larry Nance. And now the Cavs are putting that on the floor. And, Mike, the criticism I've heard is who can they guard? But then there's a flip side to that, isn't there, Coach?
If you take advantage of your size at the other end of the floor, the other team has to guard you. They've got to find a way to match up with you if you make them pay. When I was in Atlanta, my duo up front, Tree Rollins, Kevin Willis. One guy 7'1", almost 7'2". The other guy a good 6'11", 7 feet tall, strong, very physical. That's who I played there in Atlanta. Then when I came to Cleveland, I inherited a great front line from Lenny Wilkins. When you mention the guys like the Daughtys, like the Larry Nances, like the Hot Rods, you inherit that and you try and make it work the way Lenny did, and they were so successful. You don't want to change a whole lot with a good formula. My only problem was they got hurt when I first arrived here. You know, I wound up losing all 3 of them to injuries. That first year I lost Brad with the back surgery. He retired. Larry Nance, 2 knee surgeries. He retired. And then Hot Rod broke his thumb getting ready for the playoffs at the end of that year. And there go your 3 big guys. When I went on to Memphis, I had a young man named Lorenzen Wright, who was an undersized center, big, thick, strong, tough. And he really should have been a power forward. But I needed his physicalness to guard the other team's center because my power forward was a young man that was just breaking into the league, second year in the league, named Pau Gasol. Who eventually went on to be, he will be a Hall of Famer without question. So those were my 4 or 5 combinations. That group with the Cavs was the one that comes closest to being the Markkanen, Mobley, Allen group that the Cavs have right now.
Boy, the ceiling is unbelievable for those guys. Coach, I could sit and listen to you yes. talk basketball all night long. But unfortunately, Jim and I have to get ready for the Cavs and the Nuggets. They're going to tip this one off in about 90 minutes. So we really appreciate you stopping by. Love chatting with you. And
thank you, Coach.
It's an open invitation to have you back anytime.
Yes, it is. Anytime, Coach. Thank you.
Well, guys, you know how hard this is going to be. The first five in a row, but then it's 7 out of 8 altogether before we settle in for a couple home games. So let's hope that they understand. Let's win this first one. We'll worry about the other ones when we get done with this first one and move on from there. But they certainly play hard enough, so we're all rooting for them. We know that. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, Mike, thank you.
Coach.
Great,
really
great stuff.
It.
Coach Mike Fratello joining us on Cavs HQ in the Legends Chair. We'll take a timeout. Another legend's going to join us. Brad Sellers is up next on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. On Wednesday, October 20th, the Cavs hosted a Coats, Cookies, and Cavs season opener event at the Boys and Girls Club King Kennedy location. 40 children from the Boys and Girls Club each received a fall coat courtesy of members only. Enjoy tasty Cavs season opener decorated cookies and interacted with Cavs mascot Sir CeCe. Cavs in the Community is brought to you by Discount Drug Mart. We'll be back with more Cavs HQ right after this on the Cavaliers Radio Network. To the forecourt, gave it to Allen. Look out! Pow! Oh, by a soaring Jared Allen. Love, 4 on the clock. Love, corner Rubio, 3 ball. Good! Rubio hit the 3. Rubio right of the lane, into the lane. Lob to Mobley! Pow! Oh, a throw to Mo! And we welcome you back. Cavs HQ, presented by Betway along the Cavaliers Radio Network. Boy, that's great work by the dynamic duo on the other side of the window. Gert McLaughlin, Marty Allen. Those guys are in for some late nights this week, as is our guest here on Cavs HQ. Brad Sellers, of course, the five-game road swing starts tonight in Denver. And Brad, of course, joins Mike Snyder on the road contest for halftime and post game. So, Brad, I hope you got your nap in today as we get ready to get this thing rolling tonight out in Denver. But as always, great to have you on the show.
Hey, great to be here. You're right. Sleep will be at a premium.
You know, the good thing is everybody was feeling pretty good when we got on the plane yesterday and headed out to Denver. Boy, what a win can do for the psychological makeup of a basketball team and those that are surrounding that team.
There's no doubt. I think that a young team like we have, good quality wins. That's a playoff win against Atlanta. And the way we persevered and worked our way through it, impressive.
Brad, one of the things that I heard Rubio talk about was confidence, and especially with a young team like ours, and you're exactly right, to win a big game against a playoff team, just expound on that a little bit about what it takes to keep your confidence up when you've lost two straight to open the season.
Well, Jim, you know that in this league you can be broken down real easy. Mentally is where the separator between the good and the great, the average and the good. But for us, I want to say to your point, the Spaniard Rubio, who, if you know that country and the way they play basketball in Spain, they play hard and play hard and they play hard every night and they're just going to keep coming. And Rubio has been that surprise because he has kept coming every night. And I think the others feed off of that. Mobley, Lauri Markkanen, the rest of them feed off of Rubio.
That's a great point. Again, we're talking with Brad Sellers. You know, I love to draw on both of your guys' experiences in the NBA from your playing time. And, Brad, I'll throw it to you, and then Jim certainly follow up Brad. But do you recall being on a team where a veteran leader really showed the way as you were a younger player? Brad, can you start there?
There's no doubt. I don't think that I would have become the pro that I could. If I went surrounded by him, the guys I played with in Chicago early, that was Craig Hodges, Bill Cartwright, Gene Banks, Earl Cureton, just guys who have been through the rigors, right?
Right.
And Elston Turner, guys, not all household names, but they knew what it meant to be a pro. And so for a young person coming in, it's the tooling that they give you and allow you to grow as a person, because the young person's going to make some mistakes in this league, but you got to have somebody there to help correct it.
I turned pro at 19, and I was in the old ABA, and I didn't have a clue. I didn't understand routines. I didn't understand preparation. I didn't understand being the third and fourth option. if you know what I'm talking about, I mean, you say, wait, what am I going to touch the ball? You know, and so there's a lot of things you have to deal with. But I was with a guy who had played in the Industrial League, and God bless his soul. And if it wasn't for him, I don't know if I would have made it in the NBA. His name was Tom Washington. Lou Carnesecca was our coach. And Lou would, in his swearing ways, would say, go down there, and anytime we take you out of the game or before you go in, I want you to sit next to Tom Washington. We called him Trooper. Rick Barry loved him when he played in the ABA for the Nets, because he knew how to get Rick the ball. He couldn't shoot. He was more of a Dennis Rodman type, but he understood the game, and he was one of those old veterans with half his teeth missing and scars on his face.
Yeah.
And I would sit next to Trooper, and he taught me how to play the game we play today, because that, you know, we shot three-pointers. But he showed me how to be patient. He showed me how to work out. He would work out with me. What are you doing? I said, I'm just sitting home. Come on, we're going to go by the gym. And we would work and work and work. It was harder than the regular practices. But if it hadn't been for Troop, and the point I'm making is this, is that you have to have someone around you that knows more than you to help
Absolutely.
You. We call it, in sociology, we call it the heritage. You know, those that have received must give. And it's the basic fundamental of how we grow, how we teach our children, you know, from the knowledge we have, you know, and if they're a willing student, then they can learn. I tell you, if it hadn't been for Trooper,
That's a great story.
And Jimmy, let me dive on the back end of that, right? Because I don't want to leave off
sure,
two people.
Please.
I just thought about two people that, when you talk about Trooper, brought to mind. For me, when I left Chicago, there are two other people. Darrell Walker, who's now a college coach,
yes.
And Joe Dumars in Detroit.
Wow.
Both of them
wow.
in Detroit, right? And so this game is more than just a game. It's exactly what Jimmy has talked about. It's talked about preparation, understanding. And to Jim's other point, we all came in here, Jim, as the man, right?
That's right.
Now you're taking a fourth, third, fifth position, which is new, right? And so your psyche has to get used to that, because it doesn't mean you less of a player. It just means that we need you to do other things here.
Great stuff. Again, Brad Sellers, our guest. You're going to hear an awful lot from Brad Sellers in the next week or so. Cavs open up the five-game road swing tonight in Denver. So Brad will be on with Mike Snyder during halftime and postgame during the five-game road swing. And Brad, let's go from one end of the spectrum to the other. We're talking about veterans and leadership like Ricky Rubio has exemplified with the Cavaliers. Let's go all the way to the other end and a 19-year-old Evan Mobley. Boy, he has opened up some eyes in three NBA games. Your impressions of this young man?
Well, he's a talented young man. And if you saw him at USC, I don't think this is a surprise. It wasn't a surprise to me. There's an upside to him, a major upside to him. And I have to think that teams who had a chance to draft him are probably kicking themselves right now.
Yes, they are.
Because there's an upside to him, and it's a lot of bandwidth.
You know, one of the things, Brad, when I first saw him play, I went on Google and I looked at his college stuff, and I said, okay. But I kept forgetting he was only 18 then, and he was dominating then, but I didn't think about it, you know. And I said, and then when he got here and I had a chance to shake his hand, I had to look up at him. Because he was 7 foot, and he's 19 years old, so that means he's going to grow. My biggest concern is that they don't keep telling him he has to get strong and add weight, because he may be a Durant-style player who just gets stronger but is always going to be lean. And I think that leanness is really part of his advantage and his quickness, his ability to get to the help what he needs to be and be as mobile as he is for a 7-footer. The unique thing that I thought about him was that those teams that have Cade and the kid Jalen Green got to be saying, they're acting like Michael. There is no second coming of Michael. And everybody that's tried to be Michael has not been successful in our league. And so here you see a kid that's almost putting up his double-doubles every night. If you've noticed the way he approaches the game in the first half, he gets caught up in the rhythm. He's passing. He's not even really looking at the basket. He's defending. He's trying to block shots. He's trying to rebound. Then in the second half, he turns it on because then he sort of has a feel for what's out there and the anticipation. He is the smartest player and the best player we've ever had since LeBron. I've only seen three kids that could do what he's doing, and one was Magic Johnson. When Magic came to us, believe it or not, Magic was on that level too, where he could outthink you. He was smarter. There was no hurrying in his style, and he was way more mature than his actual age. This kid is in that same vein.
I'll say this, that you talk about 5'2 talent, right? He got it. Now, the thing is, I'm not worried about his size, his weight. It's gonna come naturally. You stay in that weight room and get with a quality professional, you're gonna develop. Here's the kicker, Jim. He has so many tools, he don't even know how to punish you yet.
No, he doesn't.
So when I run him down, I got a mismatch. Oh, I'm about to kill you down here on this block, right?
Right.
Oh, I got a bigger guy on me. Oh, I'm going to step out here. I'll show you a couple things here, right? And today, they different when I was coming through, Jim. They don't frown upon it now.
Yeah.
They want you to do it, right? He's got a palette of things, a palette that is out here. Now, it's up for our staff to put him in a position to be successful. But what the early returns and signs I've seen, he's got it. He's got the package.
Yeah. He's the kind of player that you don't have to coach. You have to teach, you know, mm-hmm. because he is so far ahead of the curve. His father, assistant coach at USC, did a heck of a job with him because I'm telling you, since LeBron and Magic, he's the third young player that I've seen that is smart about how to play. I'm not talking about just going out there and highlighting and crossing over. And what people haven't seen is that for the first time, he did a legitimate post-up because he had a size advantage, and he fought for position. He got the ball down low, didn't have to dribble into it. He was on the block, and he did a simple turnaround flip shot. And it looked so simple. It's like, and I know that Nate McMillan had to be saying, oh, my God. Hey, he blocks shots. Hey, and he blocks shots. And he blocks shots. Oh, he runs the floor. Oh, he passed. Oh, he's not hurrying. Oh.
5'2".
Expressionless. Expressionless. Oh, he's not caught up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he is a special talent. There's no doubt. Well, Brad, buckle up, buddy. You're going to have a busy week this week with Mike Snyder. And I tell you what, I love listening to your post game with Mike. Your insights are just tremendous.
Great,
so
great
get those naps in and get some caffeine, and we'll talk to you as we open up this road swing tonight in Denver.
I'll wait for you guys to pitch it to me at the end, and we'll run with it. You go to bed.
I got you. Okay, Bradley.
Brad Sellers joining us here on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. More to come. Stay with us on the Cavaliers Radio Network. Here's Rubio, right of the lane, into the lane. Shoots. Good! As he swishes that one over DeAndre Hunter.
He knows how to close. Mid-range game. A good shot in the paint.
Rubio behind his back on the dribble against Reddish. Drive. Scores! Ricky Rubio with some ball handling mastery and the driving bucket. Cavs up 9. Rubio baseline left. Floats and scores! Ricky Rubio, welcome to Cleveland! 99-90. Rubio sets the house on fire. Oh, well done. Yes, a little talking heads coming out of Ricky Rubio setting Rocket Mortgage Field House on fire on Saturday night in the win over the Atlanta Hawks. Great to have you back on Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Tim Elkhorn, Jim Jones, and of course, on the other side of the window, the dynamic duo of Marty Allen and Kurt McLaughlin. Huge thanks to Brad Sellers for stopping by. That was a good conversation. And again, Brad will be on all week with Mike Snyder as the Cavs embark on this five-game road swing starting tonight in Denver, 8:30. Huntington tip-off show. They'll tip that one off in Denver at 9 o'clock. So, Jim, we look back to Saturday night. That's a big win. We talked about that with Brad. It gives the Cavs some wind in their sails as they start the road swing tonight against the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's momentum. Big part of momentum, you know, is feeling good about yourself and being confident. They lost the first two games, and believe it or not, those first two games were winnable. It's just as you and I talked about during the commentary, was that fourth quarter, we just didn't know how to close, but Rubio cured that, didn't he?
He sure did. Actually, that's a perfect lead-in because Ricky had a tough game two fourth quarter when the turnovers really hampered the Cavs' ability to knock out the Charlotte Hornets. He had a few turnovers in that fourth quarter, and so Ricky talked after the Atlanta game Saturday night about his mindset going into that Hawks contest after that bad fourth quarter the night before.
Lead by example and don't say just words. Take it to action, knowing where I did my mistakes, knowing what kind of plays we have to run when the fatigue kicks in and the mind probably is not 100% there and you have a step slow. So I was more aggressive of taking the shot at the end of the game just because I think, like I said, in the fourth quarter last night, I was more willing to pass the ball. And maybe I could have shot some of the shots. And sometimes it's not about making or missing the shots. It's taking the shots so doesn't create a turnover. So my mindset was more taking what the game gave me, knowing from my experience that that's the best option.
Boy, what a great quote from Ricky Rubio. And, Jim, I love how he started it off because you have said that time and time again. Don't tell me, show me. And Ricky Rubio showed some leadership on Saturday night.
You know, a lot of people would say those comments were old school, but they're not. That's how this game is played. It has nothing to do with the three-point shot and analytics and all of that. This is how the game is played. You know, your actions always speak louder than your words. But also, Tim, you've heard me talk about the fatigue factor. Because if you play hard and you're playing both ends of the floor, the fourth quarter, you're tired, and sometimes that robs you of your courage, especially if you're a young player, because you haven't gone through it before. You don't know how to overcome it. Well, how do you overcome it? You have to keep the game simple. Your anticipation has to be greater because you may be a half a step slower. You have to be more physically aggressive because you may not be conscious that you're playing a little passive because you're tired and you're breathing hard. And like Ricky said, you take the shots because it doesn't create a turnover and it gives you time to set your defense, you know, rather than trying to make a pass and they intercept it, you know, and that type of thing. And then you put yourself in a hole and then they have numbers and they get layups on you to close the game. And that happened in the first two games. Ricky Rubio is a player in the same mode as Chris Paul, Lillard, and Magic Johnson. You know, he gives you confidence. Can he do that all year coming off the bench? Well, surely he can, because he understands how to play, and he's going to play significant minutes.
And he's a great leader. And JB, after the game on Saturday night, said that performance Saturday by Ricky Rubio exemplified leadership.
I cannot go without saying the job that Ricky Rubio did in the fourth quarter and down the stretch of the game. That's what leadership looks like. You know, a guy who owned his mistakes last night, and then came back tonight and made sure that it didn't happen again. So as our group sees this and our young guys are watching, like, that's what leadership looks like, and that's the impression that he leaves with our guys.
And, Jim, again, circling back to what you have said many times on this show, don't tell me, show me. And Ricky Rubio did that Saturday night.
Yeah, well, our kids demand that too.
Right.
You know, you're telling your family and your kids how to live. Well, you have to live that way. Because this is how human beings learn. You know, I was listening to a quote one time by William Faulkner. He's being interviewed. This guy said, well, where do you get all your literature ideas and your writing ideas? He said, I'm human. He said, and how do human beings learn? Observation, experience, and imagination. He said, that's pretty basic. And then he took a puff on his cigarette and blew it in the interviewer's face. and that is so fundamentally correct. I mean, that's how we learn. You know, I've heard people come to me and say, boy, I don't know if I can do this job. you know, I haven't done this before. Well, you could do it. All you got to do is be taught. I mean, it's basic. I mean, that's what humanity is about. It's about learning things because we don't know everything. You know, listen, we're born into this world knowing nothing, but with the capacity to know everything. And that's the gift of God.
Great insights, Jim. All right, we'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll put the finishing touches on tonight's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway on the Cavaliers Radio Network. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. Huge thank you goes out to our guests, Mike Pratello and Brad Sellers. Good conversation with those two guys. And again, Jim and I will be right back with you in about a half hour, 8:30, with the Huntington Tip-Off Show. Cavs in Denver will get it rolling out in Denver shortly after 9 o'clock. So many people to thank. Of course, the dynamic duo on the other side of the glass, Marty Allen and Kurt McLaughlin. Jim Jones, a great big thank you to you. And the biggest thanks goes to you, the listeners. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition of Cavs HQ, presented by Betway. And again, I'll be back with you in about 30 minutes. The Cavs are in Denver to take on the Nuggets. It'll be game one of a five-game road swing. Pre-game at 8:30, tip-off shortly after 9. So until then, Tim Elkhorn saying thanks for listening, and so long, everybody.